Blog Talk Radio.
For Starla this week, and let me start by saying welcome to your place. We're so glad you're here. Really appreciate you taking your time. There's lots of things this day and age that are pulling all of us so many different directions, so we appreciate the fact that you chose your place to spend this hour with us this week. Tuesday, October 19th. I hope everybody's enjoying this fall weather as much as I am. I want to remind you that if you want to join the conversation, press 1. And I will bring you on, identifying you by the last 4 digits of your phone number. As soon as the conversation has a lull in it, then I'll bring you online. We've been talking a lot about that subject because whenever I used to be on all the time, while Bill could hardly get me to shut up, he could hardly get a word in edgewise. But now that Starla has been doing the board and I'm just listening, it doesn't really ever seem time to press one. You're just listening to the conversation, but we want to hear from everybody. So go ahead and press one now, and I'll bring you on later. We are going to start the show while Bill get us going. It's a continuation of the last two shows, which are started out, I think, about the end of time and then the rapture. And while Bill's been trying to find the balance between talking too much and not talking enough, and I think last week he didn't talk enough, so I want to hear what he has to say about the subject. So let me, without further ado, bring him on. Hey, Wild Bill.
How you doing, Joy?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Well, I was in what they call the land of opportunity, and I know why they call it the land of opportunity now, because all you got to do is cross that bridge over the Mississippi River and you're back in God's country.
Oh, hey, Daddy wouldn't like that.
Well, I figured you'd come and say, oh, you could take off to the other side of the state and cross over and you'd be in Texas. So.
That's right, Texas.
But, yeah, I had to go take care of some business, and so I appreciate Joy filling in for us today. Paula is actually driving the car right now. We're on our way back, and so I had to go for an orientation, and it was just we had a good time, got to visit with some family, and got to see a grandbaby that I hadn't got to see yet. And I don't want to make anybody feel bad, but I have the cutest grandson over here in Arkansas of anybody anywhere. So just anybody else you might have second best, but you don't have one that matches anything close to what we have up here. But, yeah, this topic up here, talking about the end of time and God coming back for his bride, and there's been a lot of discussion for that, and I want to thank Brother Joe White and Sister Linda Kaiser and Bobby Lively, a.k.a. Blog Talk Mom, for being the voices that you've been able to hear. And one thing about this show we want to point out a lot is we are not trying to be right. What we're trying to do is put our viewpoints out there, share scripture thought on what it is that we're talking about, and allow everyone to come to their own interpretation as to what they think that the truth is, how it should be applied to themselves. And so we want to encourage everybody to feel free to always share your opinion, because we're not ever going to put anybody down for the viewpoint that they've had on this. And talking about the bride of Christ and, you know, God coming back for his church and everything, I've had so many different feelings, so many different thoughts on this, and I've shared a few of them on the show. But there was some reason I could not let go of this subject. And I've heard people say, you know, hey, it really don't matter. The main thing is that you just want to make sure that you make it in the rapture. You know, you don't want to be part of the bunch that misses that. But for some reason, I just could not let this go. And I'll be the first to admit that I'm really, really slow sometimes to come to comprehension on something. I can sort of get all the facts and all the details of what everybody says, and I can, you know, apply my thought process to it. And then it just seems sometimes to take a long time for it to sink in. And I had a scripture here, and I kind of dropped this on Joy earlier, and she said that she was a speed looker-upper. I don't think that's exactly what she said. But anyway, if I could get her to look up Proverbs 16:25, I'd like for her to read that to us, if she would.
All right. Let me see. You have to give more of an introduction than that. I'm not that fast. But now I'm standing up, if it was the sword drill. Christian school coming to my rescue here. Well, I should have turned on more light, though. 25, did you say?
Yeah, 16:25.
Oh, that's a good one. There's that's a funny sentence. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death.
Yes. And
I thought it was
is
the ways
really
of death.
What Joe White said, he said, you know, I can give you my opinion, and, you know, he was kind of picking on the other speakers. Sister Kaiser could give hers, a Blog Talk Mom could give hers. But what really matters is what God has to say about things. You know, when it gets right down to it, this is not one of those things where you got to be right or you got to be wrong. It's one of those things where you're going to be saved or you're going to be lost. And so it's not one of those things that this is something for discussion to argue, but it's one of those things we need to really look at. And with joy, look, there's another scripture. It's 1 Colossians 1:27. I want to encourage everyone to take time, because what this did with me, I'm kind of interrupting myself, but what this did with me on this topic here was got me to really take time to look at these things. I mean, you know, get down and look at the meaning of some of the words and the definitions of it in the scripture, going back to the original and using, you know, Strong's Concordance and Dictionary to do that. And in doing that, I have found it's like if you plant seeds and you don't know what they are, when the plants come up, it doesn't take long to figure out what it is you planted. And that's what God's Word is like. It's like seed. And if we go ahead and start watering it, nurturing it, when you're getting into God's Word, there's going to be a growth that takes place there. Are you ready with that scripture, Joy?
I'm in Colossians, but you have to tell me the chapter and verse again. Sorry.
1:27. Don't feel bad. I don't even have a note to say what the scripture was about. So
you'll be surprised with the rest of us. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You want me to go on?
That was what I thought it was. Yeah, read the next one if you would.
Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. I love the fact
wow.
that you bring so much of the Word into it, because that's an excellent place to start and finish.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's where, you know, I mean, that's what we have to live by. That is the marker. That's what it is to look at. And I've shared with all of you many times about my dad. I mean, there's so many different aspects of his life that impacted me in so many ways. And Dad was a person who saw things in black and white. There wasn't a lot of gray with him in things that he said. And Joy and I have talked about this before, and I respected Dad on so many different levels. You know, his physical strength, his grit to, you know, push through when there was obstacles or hardship in a way. His ability to have joy and find comfort in working hard, you know, to provide for his family. Those were all things that I really, really took stock in, and really, you know, if Dad had something to say about work or how to make things easier, you know, there was one thing when I was a kid he used to hammer on me, don't handle it twice. You know, pick it up, put it where it goes the first time, then we'll get something else. And you learn that there, at the time, I thought, man, he's being mean, but you learn if I have to handle something two or three times, I'm making more work for myself in the process. And so, you know, years later, I got to understanding what he was saying. And all those things, I really took a lot of stock in what Dad said. But there was things that Dad had to say to me at times about God, and I heard him make comments to different people about relationships and God. And, you know, we went through a transition where we went from a church to basically pretty much anything went to going to a church where there was a standard of dress in the church. If you was on the platform, there was a standard of dress that had to be, you know, met to be used on the platform and things. And this church didn't celebrate the holiday of Christmas. And so, you know, I remember one time we were out shopping, and it wasn't for Christmas. It was because it's coming up winter time. We lived out in the country, and we were getting new boots and shoes and new coats and everything. And, you know, the store clerk came up, you know, this da-da-da-da-da, and he's like, well, y'all have a Merry Christmas. And Dad's like, we don't celebrate Christmas. Well, it's funny how we file things in our mind, because one of the things I loved about my dad was his little witticisms, the little things that he would say, his little sense of humor, his sarcasm, the way he said things. It was just so cool. It was so original. And as a kid growing up, I'm sure I've heard my mom say before, she wished that was one of the things I didn't like so much. And my wife has said many times she wished I didn't take quite so much joy in those things. But I filed that into Dad, that was what he was doing there. But something hit me this week where I realized that maybe I wasn't really giving Dad benefit for what he was saying, because he never pulled against any of the things that we were going through with our spiritual growth and changes in our household. I don't remember anything that he stood up and said, hey, you know, you can believe what you want to. Me and the kids, we're going to do this. He let my mom, you know, she was really dedicated and pushed through and tried to do things to the tenths of what it needed to be, you know, to make sure everything was right. And I got to think, well, maybe, you know, he was standing up and saying, hey, you know, and leaving an opening for us to say more about it or something like that, instead of me just judging it that way. And because, you know, when you're reading God's Word, it's not written like a drama. It's not like a movie that's written today where you got all the facial expression. If you read a book, it talks about your facial expression, and or you get to watch it on a DVD or something like that, all those things that are there. And so it gets to a point of where, you know, how do we interpret certain things? And to give you an example, you know, and I don't know if I even got it wrote down here, but I got notes all over the place, where Jesus was talking with Peter. And I don't have it wrote down where it is, but he made the statement that upon this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not, you know, stand against it. And I'm running out of scripture, I'm sure I am. I think it's actually Matthew 16:18. Can you get that for me, Joy?
Sure.
I'll just drop another one on you. but when you look at the scripture, and she's going to read it as soon as she gets there and everything.
I got it.
We read it. Okay, go ahead.
And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You want the keys of the kingdom? You want the next one?
No, that's fine right there.
Okay.
And but when you look at that, you know, the mental part of us is like, okay, Peter, that means little rock. And so, you know, and that's not in Arkansas either for all you people over there before. But, you know, so a lot of people saying, well, because Peter had the keys to the kingdom, you know, that means upon, you know, Peter is going to build that rock. But yet the other part of it is that, you know, it talks about Jesus being the chief cornerstone, you know, the stone that was not formed with hands and what it is. But can you imagine if you were standing there and you watched this, and maybe when Jesus was saying upon this rock, and maybe he was hitting himself on his chest, you know, showing me, but then he says, I'm going to build my church. And maybe he put his hand on Peter's chest to show that it's in the hearts of man is where God wanted to dwell. That's where it was going to be. But we don't have the benefit of that. But sometimes we read the words and we start wanting to use our logic to go in there and try to figure everything out, how it twists and how it turns. And we miss the whole emotion and the point of what was trying to be said there. And I think some of this is the same with me on how I've been looking at the topic here of what was going on with looking at, you know, God coming back for his bride and everything. And I'm going to go into that more here in a minute. And please, you know, bear with me when I go through this. But going through and talking about my dad, when he was diagnosed with cancer, and I don't know how to explain what it meant when my dad called me, and he had no sadness in his voice. And it was like he was being concerned for my feelings and being compassionate for me. And he calls me up and he says, son, I got some bad news. And I can tell you of all the things that went through my brain, nothing came close to the realization when he told me that he had only a few months to live, that he had cancer. It didn't seem real. But something happened with me in that time. So all of a sudden, I really got on this thing where I was going to really stop and look and listen to everything that Dad had to say. I was going to look at him in a way that I never had before. And going through that process, and please forgive me, I had someone tell me that on a blog talk show or a radio show, one of the worst things you're not supposed to do is have emotion in what you're talking about here. But as you can guess, this is something that's very emotional for me. But and it's funny, I used the word stop, look, and listen because it just dawned on me. That's the same thing that they put up that you're supposed to do when you come into a railroad crossing. And trust me, me and Joy can tell you that that was a train that was coming that was going to change our lives in a way that we never dreamed. But the same thing where we file certain things with Dad, he always said, and he talked about how that the funny thing about knowing he was going to die was how he found himself having to try to encourage other people not to feel sorry for him and everything, you know. And he's like, it doesn't seem right. Why am I having to help, you know, kind of support people here emotionally and mentally here when I'm the one that's dying? You know, that whole process didn't make sense. But I remember Dad saying, he said, pray that I'm not lost. Don't pray for my healing. And it dawned on me during this whole process that Dad, at the time where he knew he had limited time, he got his priorities right. You know, it wasn't about, you know, hey, let's go seek after this miracle person here for healing or that person there or something like that to reach out to. He understood that God could do those things, and I think deep down he knew me and Joy was praying that anyway, that there was going to be some sort of miracle come in. But he had his priorities right. And he had friends that would come over, and he'd say this with us around and them, and they said, well, Jim, all you got to do is believe, and everything's going to be okay. And they would say what faith they were, and I'm going to be nice here and not say what it was, but Dad would say, well, going to that church, going to go to hell. You know, if that's what you believe and that's what you're standing on, you're going to go to hell. And I thought, again, I followed that as Dad's attempt at humor, his little thing of sarcasm or something there. But really, deep down, that's what he believed. He really had an understanding that this thing that you believe something and not having a change in your life and not having accountability, that there was something there that was missing in that process. And even though, and George went ahead and threw it out there, who they were, if you want to go to somebody and find out about the love and the grace and the mercy of God, I found that those people can open your eyes to some things that sometimes that we harden our hearts to and we forget about. And so there is, you know, I'm not trying to say that everything that they have to say is bad. But
and he
I
didn't either. It was
the
one saved, always saved. That was the, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, and part of you could say, like, man, that's mean to sit up there and say something like that. But then I thought about Dad, how everything was black and white. And he was not going to let it be that his last thing that he said to his friends, and these were friends of his, these were people that knew him like nobody else. And he was just calling it like it was, the way he looked at it, his opinion of God's word and everything. And, you know, and this was a man that's facing his final days. You know, this is not someone that would sit there and try to confuse somebody on what is spiritual and what's not spiritual and things like that. And so I got to thinking about that, and I had another scripture that came to me here, and I'll throw this out to you, Joy, while I'm going up to my notes here. But it's Matthew 13 and 9.
All right, that's almost where I was, so I'm already ready. You want me to go ahead?
Go ahead.
Who hath ears to hear, let him hear.
Yeah, and if you would, go ahead and read Matthew 13 and 15.
You didn't seem too impressed with 13 and 9.
Oh, I'm not through with it, trust me.
For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. You want 16?
Yes. Thank you for your well. No, that's fine right there.
Okay.
And it's the same thing to where I took a mental file, and I took certain things that Dad said, and I didn't look at it when he shared with things with me about God and everything. Is the same thing as that thing of having ears to hear, let them hear. Now, I believe God has a sense of humor, but I have no doubt that when God created man, he knew he gave us two ears. I don't think he's decided, okay, I'm going to have a scripture come in the Word, and we're going to pick on those people that were born with a birth defect and don't have an ear, or for those that were injured in an accident and don't have an ear. God was trying to make a point here about having ears to hear, to really take time to go into God's word and follow everything that he said and put it in perspective as to what's going on at that time in the word, and then figure out a way to apply it to your life now as a stepping stone and a guidebook. What was that you told me the other day, Starla? What does Bible stand for? Do you remember? She's shaking her head no at me. She don't remember what it was, but she told me what Bible stood for, and I'd heard that a long time ago, and I forgot, but it was something about it being a roadmap or something for us here. But in looking at this thing having to do with the God coming back for his bride and everything, all of a sudden I realized something going through this process. When you go back into Genesis at creation, when you're looking at everything that's there, it's laid out there real simple that when sin came into the world, there was a sacrifice made, there was blood that was spilled, there was a covering. When you go into the tabernacle and you look at God's word and you look at it, it's clear, and we use the terminology plan of salvation. When you look there in the Old Testament, God had a plan of salvation for that dispensation that was there during that time. And when Jesus was God robed in flesh, came to this earth, and he was nailed to that cross as a common criminal who had done nothing wrong, had no sin in his life, and he was nailed to that cross, another dispensation was started right there. And then where he said that he had to go away and he would come again, that he was going to send a comforter to them, and he told us that if it wasn't true, I would have told you. And something about that's powerful to me, that if something had changed, if something was different, God would have told us. But that plan of salvation that started in Genesis when sin first came, you can read about it right there. You can see what God put in place. And you can go into the book of Acts, and you can actually, I think it starts even before that, where you can look at, I think it was Cornelius, where Jesus, you know, he was told he had to be born again. And he's like, you know, what do you mean? I got to go back to my mom's womb and be born again? And it was explained to him that there's a birth process of being born again. And then you can read on down where it goes in Acts with the Ethiopian eunuch. And you can read where it was explained in more detail of what needed to be done, if there was expected to be a baptism of water and of spirit. And the Bible says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of the water and of the spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And then, you know, you look at these people here, and then, you know, the eunuch was there like, well, hey, there's water. What hinders me from being baptized? And you can read all those examples through there. And sometimes we get really locked up into two or three scriptures. We want to throw out Acts 2:38 and 39 and say that that's what it is right there. Well, that is what happened on the day of Pentecost. But I'm more interested in what happened after that. How was it applied? And when you look and you read those scriptures, and it talks about that the people were actually baptized in the name of Jesus, that they were still receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. And you realize that dispensation is for now. And then when you look at where we're talking about the rapture of God's church, where you're talking about the bride of Christ, it makes it very clear when you're looking at the five foolish and the five wise virgins. It didn't say that five of them slept and five of them didn't. They all slept. The five of them was prepared. They had done everything they were supposed to do. And what I realized was, if God didn't get all hung up and is like, uh-oh, my bad, I kind of messed up here, this is not going to jive with what we did over in Genesis, the plan of salvation goes all the way through the whole thing. When you get to reading about the bride of Christ, it makes it very clear there's expectation. No spot, no blemish, you know, those kind of things. Excuse me. But, you know, that's one of the things that just jumped out at me as I was going through this, is that there is a specific plan that God started at the beginning. He didn't say, okay, now, because now I've got to be the sacrificial lamb, we're going to regroup here and we're going to change and have a new plan come in. Because I've got news for you. If I was God and I was the one who created everybody and y'all started nailing me to a cross, y'all would have had some serious problems. Because I can't understand what God did. I can't understand that kind of love. And yet, now I'm going to go to an example of something that probably Joy's going to say, what? Can't believe you're going there. I've got a daughter who has this boyfriend, and she thinks he's the greatest thing since red M&Ms. But she has this thing to where her whole life revolves around this young man. And it reminded me, so when I first had this young lady came and delivered me a pizza, that if I couldn't be with her and I really couldn't think about anything to talk about, I would call and I would read the little joke things out of Reader's Digest to her just so I could hear her voice on the phone and spend time with her. And I would find all kinds of excuses and make all kinds of reasonings beyond logic as to why I wanted to be with her and everything. And I have another scripture here that, is sometimes there's a lot of people say, well, man, he's, you know, barking up my alley here. I believe it's Acts 2:38 stuff and everything. But here's a scripture I want you to take a look at, Revelations 2 and 4. Because sometimes we get to looking at things and we want to judge other people to make it like we're okay. who want to say, I got this new birth experience thing down. But that's not where it stops. That's just being born again. And I've talked about this before. I have a real problem when I walk into a church and 15 minutes of the Sunday school lesson or 20 minutes of the first of the sermon is talking about politics and putting one political party over another. And I'm not talking about things like, hey, they're fixing to sneak in something here at midnight tonight in the midnight hour behind closed doors where they're trying to change laws to affect our churches and Christian schools and where we all stand up and call our congressmen and say, hey, we're not going for this, you know, where your voice is heard. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people getting up and saying, this is the party that has the mind of God and things like that. And I'll tell you what, that's not what I go to church to hear. That's not the message that's going to save me. Because I'll tell you what, you get to reading through Revelation, everything is happening. It's fixing to get worse. It's not going to get better. If this is the end of time, these things were supposed to happen. It's what's going to happen. And it's my God who puts kings on thrones. He allows people to become presidents and in power positions and everything. It's not, you know, I know we have election process, and I believe that everyone should vote. But I'm telling you what, church, just because you've been born again don't give you a right to get away from the standard that God has put before us. And, George, do you have that scripture?
I do. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love.
Yeah, that first love. When I got to looking at this thing with my daughter and everything, and I realized that consuming love, that thing to where nothing else matters, where it's not all like, oh, man, I got to go to church again. I was like, wow, I get to go to church today. I get to go hear God's word. I get to go with my brothers and sisters and worship God in one mind and one accord. It's not a place where you go and you sit there and you try to pick apart everybody else, what they're living or not living in their life, to make yourself feel better and everything. It's that love where, and I've said this several times, and I know I'm a long way from being there, to where we love our neighbor as ourself, to where we have that love to where it's not all about us, it's about God, to where we realize that there's a lost and dying world out there, and we're not so wrapped up in ourselves that all of a sudden we realize that we have a special calling and a duty to try to win the lost. And we're not going to do it by judging people, browbeating people, picking them apart and everything. We have a ministry that's designed to help people get through those things, and we're to be supportive of the ministry. But that's not everyone's place to do, and you can't judge yourself by judging other people. It's time that we stand up and realize, okay, I may got the new birth experience down, but there's a lot more that's required of me here. I don't want to lose that first love. I don't want it to be to where I forgot what this is all about, why I was doing this and everything, because it's in that process as well, all of a sudden you get a comprehension of how an almighty God could love us so much that he allowed himself to die as a common criminal, but even more brutal than it had ever been done before or since, for the salvation and healing and all the things that were paid for that you can read about so that we can be saved. And you can't look and say, well, yeah, you know, thank you, Lord. We thank you for doing that and everything, and not realize that there's things that's required of us. If we want to be part of that bride, it's laid out in your Bible. Read it. Don't listen to me. Get in your Bible and read it. Read what the new birth experience was. Read what happened with the Ethiopian eunuch. Read through there and see what processes took place. And then you tell me where that dispensation had ended to where all of a sudden there's not a requirement to do those things anymore. You share it with me, because if it's in there, I've missed it, and I want you to share it with me, because most of all, I don't want to lead anybody astray, and I don't want to be lost. And when you get to looking at the bride of Christ, the one thing that's really stood out at me this last week is God has a plan, and it hasn't changed. There's no alterations to it. There's no, you know, well, this guy's going to be one way and this guy's going to be another. It is set in stone. And to me, that is the thing that we need to be looking at here, not just say the words and, you know, well, I just want to make it. Well, if you really want to make it, let's look in here and see what it says we're supposed to do. If we don't have that burden that we're supposed to have and everything, we need to be praying for that burden. We need to get that first love to where we are so excited to share with anybody and everybody what was going on. I remember when my mom first got in church, she wrote her testimony down and had it printed. And I don't know how many people she gave that to, but I know the mailman got a copy of it, the people at the store got a copy of it, the people from the church we came from got copies of it. I mean, it was that first love that made us want to share that thing. And that's one thing people can't argue about is your personal testimony. So take great pride in that and protecting it for what it is.
Speaking of Blog Talk Mom, the show's half over. Want me to bring her on?
Yeah, I'm fixing to come off my soapbox here and everything, but I do want to hear what everybody else has to say about this, what I've shared here.
You didn't let me bring her on so you could say that? Make me come thump you. I'll thump you. Starla, reach over there and thump him. All right, Josie, you are on the air with your quarreling children.
I love that, though, that everything that there was a complete, almost a sermon that while Bill was saying, because it and the scriptures were confirmed, I guess you would say, the train of thought that people, this is how I got it, that they want to argue over things, they want to give their opinion over things, but they don't go to the Word of God. And it's a shame. It's really, it's so absolutely fantastic to actually go in there and read the themes that are coming to pass right now. I have a suggestion. I want to say hello to y'all and how much I love you. But I have you can go to YouTube and you can pull up Countdown to Eternity. It's about 8 or 9 years old, I believe, that when it was put together. But it is an excellent video of facts. I mean, it's not drawing conclusions or, you know, really preaching type thing, but it's very informative about how close we are to different things being prophecies being fulfilled. And one of the things that one of the gentlemen said was that Jesus said, when you see these things come to pass, you know, not necessarily the ending of it, but when you see them happening, then to look up, for our redemption draws nigh. And it's real positive, it's real upbeat. We have hope, we have everything we need in the Lord. It's not gloom and doom if we don't choose for it to be. I mean, it's an awesome good news. You know, the gospel is good news. And I really appreciate, while Bill, you having this on like you have, and then the things you said tonight seem like sort of bring closure to different things that have been said.
This didn't seem to me to be so much about the rapture and end time as why we care about the rapture and end time. This was more plan of salvation kind of thing.
Yeah.
What it's going to take to be part of it. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that too, because now I can bring you some scriptures about the rapture, but the Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. Tell her, Joy.
Hey.
peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, and faith. And when I'm in traffic and somebody cuts me off, it's not so much, you know, those prophetical things, which are awesome, but it's whether or not I can keep from slamming on my horn. And the love, joy, peace. And, you know, and the Sermon of the Mount was written before any of that other, as far as book Revelation. And I do want to be a light every day, you know, in every way. And sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. How about y'all?
I always do.
Yeah. What really kept jumping out with me through this whole thing this last week was, he that hath ears, let him hear. You know, really let him hear. Really go in there and look at, not divide it up to be what you want it to be, not divide it up to make a point of what you want to make, but look at the common theme all the way through everything going up to the part of talking about the bride of Christ. I mean, it makes it really clear there's expectations that God has for who his bride is going to be. He's not going to take no two-timer. He's not going to take somebody that's got holes in their garment. He's not going to allow any sin to be there. He expects them to be, you know, ship-shaped. Everything, be full of the Holy Ghost, have that full of oil experience in your life, you know, to make them have that overcomers. And what's really interesting there is that oil wasn't meant just to make us overcomers and to be a comforter, but the Bible talks about it giving us power so that we can be witnesses, you know, have that testimony that we can share with other people. And
I think it is important to do it in that order. What? Sorry.
No, that's fine. I sort of said, just visualize. We don't know what actually was happening there and how many points that God was, trying to make when, right there was Jesus and Peter talking, and the scripture came forth that upon this rock. There's so many different points that can be taken on. Peter had the keys to the kingdom, but it's clear that our foundation is based on not the keys, but on the firm foundation in Jesus. But, have you ever been in a conversation with someone and you're talking about something that's totally wasn't much to it, but there was a connection made between you and that person, and you realized there was something happening here a whole lot more deep than what you were talking about in that connection? And I think that some of that stuff, because we just read it, like this says this and this says that and so be it and these and thou's, that a lot of times we don't really try to look at the relationships. We don't really try to get that inner comprehension. And some of that we will not be able to get. But when you try to put yourself in those situations, the shortest scripture in the Bible is Jesus wept. But when you really get to thinking about everything that's happened there, I can't read that scripture without feeling a stirring inside to realize what all was going on at that point to make Jesus weep. With the whole thing, he's like, wow, Lazarus was, going to be raised from the dead. But, he had already told him, he's just sleeping. And then he gets up there and everybody's like, if you had only been here. And he's, I can imagine the emotion, the man part of Jesus, with this was family, this was loved ones, this was people he cared about. And they still didn't get the understanding as to who he was and what he could do. And, and even now within myself, the limitations that God has in my life is the limitations I put there. And I'm realizing that more and more it's my lack of faith. Not my lack of understanding, but it's my lack of faith to lean on those things and say, come what may, my God's going to take care of this. That being as a child, we never wondered how we was going to get to the lake when mom and dad said they'd taken us to the lake. We were just excited to get to go to the lake, and we trusted that we were going to go to the lake. And it's trying to get that whole mindset to realize, and I know we say this 1,000 times on this show, but to put ourselves in the mirror and look at the only thing we can really change, and that's starting with us. You can't fix other people as much as we all like to try sometimes. Like, I'm going to fix them. I see what their problem is. And they're sitting there looking across the church. You're like, yeah, buddy, I see what your problems are too. But the main thing is just looking at the plan where it goes all the way through. And I sort of got to rambling here. I'm sorry. I know hopefully we got a lot more callers ahead. I talked to someone that had some thoughts on some of the things that were said, talking about the rapture of the church and the bride and some of the things that were said about Revelation. So this is your time to go ahead and put out what you have to say about that. So sorry, Joy Bells, I got off again.
That's all right. It is your show. It's my place and their place, but it's your show. So you guys heard him. Press 1. The time is clicking by. What I was going to say is that it is important to get things in that order. I think sometimes people get way too fired up about being a witness. But if you do all those things, like you have the fruit of the Spirit and you are following a tenth of what the Sermon on the Mount says, and like you were talking about the lamp, if your lamp is bright and you've got all that going on, it will give your testimony power. It will draw people to you. People will listen to what you say. So it's always important to start first, and another theme of this show, with the man in the mirror.
That's good.
Well, just for example, where I was working, these people were all, they went out and took us all out to eat last night, and they were drinking and cursing, and I didn't have to say a word, but it got back where I could hear one saying, hey, watch what you say around him. He's a Christian. He don't cuss.
Yeah.
Told any of them that I claim to be a Christian or that I'm striving to be a Christian. They saw something in me without me saying a word, that all of a sudden that they felt like giving me that respect to try to watch what they were saying around me. I didn't have to grab a Bible and beat them on the head.
But you did anyway.
I did not.
caller, it's a Tennessee number. I think it may be Sister Kaiser, 7473.
Well, hello there.
Hey, Sister Kaiser, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Sorry I'm coming in late, but my phone, I've already plugged into you a couple of times, but my phone, the battery, I've got it plugged in, I can't walk and talk, so I'm anyway. I heard...
You're having to go old school.
For real. That seems ancient to me. But anyway, I heard Brother Bill mention something about the oil as I was plugged in the first time, then my phone cut off and I had to start it again. I want to just say something about the oil. The oil is a type of the Holy Ghost. But not only that, the oil is the light. Jesus, you know, he said he is the light of the world, and then Ezra says that now we are the light of the world. All I can say is I'm seeing too many empty lanterns. They got the lantern, but they don't have any oil, which is the instilling of the Holy Ghost. But let me share this, and I may not be on the same vein that he was talking, I don't know, but I was getting bits and pieces as I'm trying to rig up my phone. But there was this is a true story that happened many, many years ago when they didn't have all these mechanical things for the trains. They had to have somebody swinging the lantern to make sure the traffic head is clear. If anything's coming, they'll be swinging the lantern. And the trains came toward each other. No lantern was swinging, no light, nothing, crashed, killed hundreds of people. And they took this man on the stand in court, and he said, I was there. Were you there? I was there. You sure you're there? You can swear you're there. He said, I was there. They said, did you have your lantern? He said, yes. They said, were you swinging your lantern? He said, yes. And they grilled him for hours and hours. They finally came to the conclusion they had to let him go because he was there. But years down the road, when he was an old man getting ready to die, he said, somebody asked him about it again and said, oh, what about that thing? Years ago. He said, well, they asked me, was I there, and I was there. And they asked me if I had my lantern, and I had my lantern. And I was swinging and moving all the moves. But it said not one person ever asked me if I have any oil. And that was a true story. Nobody. So we as children of God, we have the oil. When you're born again, you have the oil of the Holy Ghost. It is also our light and our type of Christ. And
That exactly goes with my point of the first thing to do is to make sure you got your ducks in a row.
That's exactly right.
More than to get. And I wanted to say I appreciated what you said last week. I've thought about it a few times during the week about God not being a respecter of persons but being a respecter of attitudes. It made me think about, like, David. Even though David did so many things, it seems like God was just always so willing to be there for him and to pull him through and to forgive him and to set him up and all that. And I think it was because of his attitude and Peter's attitude. There, God does love a certain kind of attitude.
Oh, you're exactly right. And let me just elaborate on that a little bit about the attitude thing. David sinned. Somebody said, well, the Bible says David is a man after God's own heart. And then somebody says, but he grossly sinned, but not one time in all of David's infractions against God's will. Every time I've read the Bible through many, many times. I've never seen in the Bible where David blamed anybody, put the load on somebody else. He said it was me. I did this, and he always got down in sackcloth and ashes and repented. And that's a person after God's own heart. When we do something, don't blame your brother, your sister, your mama, your daddy, your lineage, your heritage. Just say, Lord, it's not my brother nor my sister, but it's me, O Lord. Standing in the need of prayer. Yeah, that's it.
The other thing that's really good about that is, you know, a lot of times you think because you go to church and you wear a mask and you put on certain appearances and everything that it makes everything okay, but God judges the heart of man, and that goes back to the attitude thing. Where does the rubber meet the road in your life with what your experience is with God? You know, is it superficial? Or is it that on-fire love to want to know more about him and realizing, you know, what has been offered for us for a way of escape? And I know we have ups and downs. We have valleys, and we go through trials and tribulations. But, you know, a lot of people, when things get bad, you know, it's funny. You hear people say, the first time something goes wrong, I didn't have this trouble, and I didn't live for God. But the people that have the right kind of attitude, you know, it's kind of like I heard Brother Shell say one time when he was getting a whipping, he used to wrap his arms around his mama's legs and hang on, and it made it harder for her to whip him because he was right up there so close to her and everything. And that's the attitude, you know, I'm going to get just as close as I can is what God's looking for. I'm not looking for a halfway experience. I'm not looking for a halfway commitment. I got an attitude. I want God to see my heart. Whatever it takes, Lord, test me, try me. Whatever, I just don't want to be lost.
Here we go again with that testing and trying.
That's right.
He's brave. Well, Richie wants to go full throttle.
I said the same thing on that because I prayed for God to do that, and I went through some pretty serious trials there during that time. But I did survive, and I do know that I'm closer to God now than I was then. So whatever it takes, Lord.
I know better than to ask for the accelerated class, though. I do the best I can to keep up with it at the regular pace.
Let me share this with you guys, and I'll get off the phone. But somebody made a statement a while back and said, how something tragic happened in the month. They said, well, how could God allow that? And I said, wait a minute. I've not seen you in church in years. You disavowed your walk with God. Don't blame God for things happen, because good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people. That's just a fact of life. But somebody said, how could God let this happen? How did God let this child die? How did God let so and so? Hey, wait a minute. You haven't even called on God in 20 years. All of a sudden now you want him. But he is a merciful God, and he does have a lot of grace and mercy to give to those that need it.
Thank goodness.
Amen. Yes, for all of us. I'm glad
Blog Talk
you,
Mama.
Doorbell.
What'd you say?
Right. Go ahead.
I'm glad to hear your voice.
Oh yeah! Thank goodness for this show. We all get a chance to hear from each other.
Have
I love it.
Reunion, can't we?
Exactly. While Bill indulges
awesome.
Us a little bit,
we'll
I think Blog Talk's got something to say. Blog Talk, Josie.
Come on, sis.
I was just right at the point that y'all were talking about the Lord and how He looks at attitudes, and the story in the Old Testament about Rahab was a harlot. But because she heard about the Lord and she believed, she was able to save her whole family. And that that story is so beautiful, because the Lord isn't looking for people to keep out of heaven. You know, it makes such a difference if people would just turn to Him, you know, believing. And you sit down in a chair and you're not sitting in that chair usually wondering if it's going to fall. You know, you sit and you trust it. And but, you know, if we trust God, He's not going to let it fall. He's not going to ever fail us. And you mentioned it a while ago about overcoming. And, Jorvis, you had given me a whole sermon on overcoming. I put a PowerPoint with it. And but it's the benefit of opposition. It's the greatest thing that can come our way, and God never put more on us than we can bear, you know. But the opposition draws us to Him and draws us to His Word and to His promises, and we find
exactly.
out when we're sick that He's the healer. You
and
know,
so
we find
not
out
to be
when
so
we're lonely.
Quick. To label things
Pardon?
Good. Yeah, not to be so quick to label things good or bad, because that, if we're just always not resisting it and facing what's going on and letting it be part of our walk, then it's all good. Go ahead. Sorry, you got me fired up there.
No, I love it. And if I do that, it's the best thing that I do. And when I don't do that, it's the worst thing I can do, because I wind up frustrated and tense. But when I realize, and even this very day, an appointment didn't happen, and everybody forgot to tell me, and I had all my stuff prepared. But the Lord knew that I needed a space today for something else that I wasn't aware of. And when I realized that, I thought, well, Lord, I'll just trust you all the time.
That's good. That's like the song he had written, Wild Bill had at the beginning, and just, I think I'll just let you run things.
He could probably do it too.
Yeah,
that's good. I
it
wish I wouldn't
like
have interrupted
praise.
You.
Praise is the key, you know. If we'll just keep that, I know Sister LaJoyce Martin had an illness, and she the only way she could have any kind of comfort was to lean over a footstool, like, and she said she had to stare at the carpet for I don't know how many weeks. And during that time, she found a place in God she had never been before. And
exactly.
She was able to stand up in front of a whole group of women over and over and tell that story. And they were blessed. They were uplifted. They were strengthened. And that's the icing on the cake. When we make it, you know, somebody else is going to see that and witness that, and they're going to make it.
Exactly.
You can't lose with the stuff that you use.
You're making me an overcomer with the word of your testimony.
That's right.
Have we lost Wild Bill? We just turned it into women only here.
I want to give a shout-out, if you don't mind, maybe to Sister Rita Gillum in Illinois, if she's listening. Also, maybe Brother Tim and Sister Diana Gordon from Richland, Mississippi may be listening, so I'll give a shout-out and say, come on in.
Come on in. The weather's fine.
I appreciate that. And I know in some ways it seems like I was like, well, boy, he sure got a long way off the topic here and everything, but I'm hoping that it touched a few other people like it did me to realize that sometimes we look at all the things of what we can argue about and the things that there's not real clear on this and that, left and right. But when you look at the specific plan that God has for his people, and then you do let God be God, you know, what's the Bible say, something like, you know, my God's word's right, everyone else is a liar or something like that. It's not what I say or anybody else. We got to go to that word. We got to have faith in it. We got to trust it and let God be God. I mean, because when I try to fix it, my wife can tell you I can mess up more trying to fix something than most people can, you know, mess up on purpose.
Tell the truth and shame the devil.
Yeah.
That was cute.
So, but when I take it to God and I'm like, Lord, I don't know the answer here. You see this situation. I'm laying it on the altar and I'm trusting you to work this out to a perfect work. It's amazing how much better things go. But that's the other point of this, is how many things do we need to place on our altar before God that we don't take the time to do, that we don't really have the burden to do? You know, how many people's right there within our scope of where we live, next door neighbors, family members, and things like that? How much do we think, man, I wish things were changing their life? But then we think about how often do we place them on the altar and put them before the Lord? Is it to where it's become, as the parable in the Old Testament, where it's become such a nuisance that the king is going to listen to this woman, you know, or listen to this brother to see what it is? You know, I know God hears it when we say it the first time, but I've also learned that it gives God pleasure for us to ask him to do things. And,
right.
And so if there again, it goes back to that attitude. You know, are we going to fix it ourselves? Well, if they're not going to live right, it's not my fault. You know, I'm required to take care of me. Well, you know, part of this growth process is that we realize that we're not going to be like Cain. We do want to be our brother's keeper. And I think it's funny, it's the only place you read that in the Bible is from the brother that just killed his brother. You know, am I my brother's keeper? No, I killed him. You know, so, you know, we don't want to be killing our brothers and sisters, but there again, we also want to take up the yoke and put it upon us to have a burden for those people too. Do we have anybody else, Joy Bell? I really thought Brother Russell was going to be. He's going to be our guest speaker next week, and he's going to help us with a message that I think is going to surprise a lot of people. It's on the sixfold ministry. And if you think that I misspoke there and everything, you just need to come back and listen next week, because it is on the sixfold ministry. And I think a lot of people are going to be really surprised at what he has. So we're getting down to the last minute and a half. Does anybody have anything else?
I don't have any raised hands here. They've missed their chance once again. I think we have to start bringing them on at the beginning so that they know they're going to talk and then take it from there.
Yeah.
Y'all have a good night.
Well, like you said, too, sometimes it's went from a talk show to being more, you know, where there's a message where people are listening, and maybe I'm praying that they're getting into the Word. When asked about the wood to pray for Joe White, he had to have oral surgery today, and he wasn't able to be on the show, and he's been such a blessing to, you know, take his time with the work schedule he has to come on the show and share some very thought-provoking insight as to what he believes as far as the bride of Christ and as far as, you know, when the bride is going to be taken out as far as tribulation and things. And I want to thank him for stirring up something in me to make me want to look at it in a way that I never had before, and to realize with even a deeper understanding that God's plan of salvation hasn't been altered, it hasn't been changed, and for those that have an ear to hear, it's there. And we just go to that understanding God has something for all of us. So I think we're down to last minute. You got anything else for Bell? I want to thank you again for being here with us.
No problem. We'll all look forward to having Sister Starla back next week.
Okay. Well, she's sitting over here looking at me like she likes to take a rolling pin to me because we're still a long way from home. But she did me a favor and pulled over and stopped so I could try to read my notes and make sure we didn't lose signal. So
you've traded in the pleasures and challenges of the road for the pleasures and challenges of home.
That's true. Well, she did me a favor. She turned the radio on and had some songs playing, and it kind of really got me ready for all this for tonight, too, and everything. It's, you know, the Lord, we all play little parts in how we support each other and everything. And, you know, this show wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Joy giving me the idea and telling me about Blog Talk Radio and then the support of the people who take time to listen and speak on the show. And, you know, my wife and Joy for, you know, helping us work the board and being there to be a support and read scriptures and everything. So I want to thank all of you for taking your time to be on this show. But I would like to hear some more voices on here, some more opinions on things. Like I say before, it's not about being right. It's not about being wrong. It's about sharing what you feel and what you think and all of us growing from that. And I want to thank all of you again. Pray that God bless each and every one of you. We'll be back next Tuesday night with Brother Russell Henson. Y'all have a good night.